Greetings, this is Pastor Stan Harvey of the Pentecostals of Sydney. Thank you for joining us on our podcast. It is our hope that this message, whether it be a Sunday service or a midweek lesson, would be a blessing and a help to you in your spiritual journey. Stay connected with us on our website, posydney.com, or on our numerous social media platforms. Now to the service.
So we are going to pray for him. He needs to leave for the Philippines tomorrow to minister a conference. So when we pray this morning, we're going to pray for him. I want to welcome Brother Damien, Sister Mendy and their children. They're from the States. They're on their way to New Zealand as missionaries, and we welcome them today. Thank you for being with us. And all our guests, it's lovely to have you with us today. Amen. Amen. Why don't we turn in our Bible into 2 Timothy chapter 4. Sorry to make you stand again, but it is our custom in honor of the Word of God to stand for the reading of the Word. Amen. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5 to 6 says, "But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." The thoughts of this sermon have been in my thoughts and focus since January this year. And I'm confident as I sought God that today is the day to minister those thoughts. And in the providence of God, that whoever hears this message, whether in house or online, that God desires to speak through us today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your beautiful presence that we feel in your house this morning. There's nothing like being in your presence, oh God. We pray your anointing, oh God, over my lips of clay, over everything, Lord, that will be said and done this morning. We pray for our pastor, Lord. We love him, oh God, and we're asking you right now that you will touch his body. Lord God, that you will bring complete healing. Restore his voice, oh God. Restore his strength, Lord. We're asking you right now, Lord, that you will touch him right now. Have your way, Lord, for the rest of this service, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. I want to focus on the first sentence of verse 6. The Apostle Paul referred to his life as being poured out as a drink offering. This phrase would have made sense to those hearing it because Israelites, they understood what drink offerings were. God had given Moses instructions regarding the temple and the daily sacrifices that the Israelites were commanded to perform. These sacrifices included a meat offering, a grain offering, and a drink offering. But unlike most of the animal and grain offerings, a portion of which was retained for the priests or the worshippers to consume, the entire drink offering was poured out upon the altar of the burnt offering. Thank you, brother. I grabbed my phone instead of my Bible. How bad is that? Amen. The entire drink offering was poured out upon the altar of the offering. All of the drink offering belonged to God. In keeping with our theme of 2024, I've entitled my thoughts today, "A Life Poured Out for His Glory." A life poured out for His glory. The drink offering is mentioned a number of times in the Bible. The first mention of it was when God appeared to Jacob at Bethel in Genesis 35. And after Jacob had an encounter with the Lord, Jacob poured out a drink offering unto the Lord on the pillar that he had set up. In Samuel 23, David's men broke through the Philistine garrison to bring David back a drink of water from the well at Bethlehem that he so yearned for. But rather than drink it, because of the great sacrifice that these men made to get him the water, David valued the water as so precious that he poured it, all of it out as a sacrifice unto the Lord, like he had seen done in the temple. Isaiah spoke of the Messiah in Isaiah 53:12, and he said that he poured out his soul unto death. And in Matthew 26, during the first Passover with his disciples, first Passover in the New Testament, Jesus himself referred to his life being poured out. Jesus gave the disciples a cup, and referring to his blood, he said, "It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many." So pouring out denotes completely emptying a vessel of what was in it. This morning I want to minister on what does a life poured out look like for you and me as Christians living in the 21st century. Romans 11:36 says, "For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory." Amen. All glory to him forever. Amen. God created you and me. We didn't evolve from apes. Amen to that. We came from God. We were made in his image. We exist by his power. Amen. He put breath in my lungs this morning and in your lungs every single day of every single moment. And we sang that this morning. It is his breath in our lungs. Hallelujah. You and I cannot breathe without God. We exist by his power. And the Bible says we were created for his pleasure and his glory. Let me read 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7 to you. "For God, who said, 'Let there be light in the darkness,' has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like clay, fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves." Hallelujah. If you have the Holy Ghost within you this morning, then you possess that great treasure. Hallelujah. It is the greatest treasure that you will ever have. It is not what we own physically in this life. It is not what we can gain from this life in treasure, in money, in possessions. But it is having God live with inside of us. It is knowing that we have our salvation sealed by the power and the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Because it is that treasure, that power within you and I that will quicken our mortal body on that day when Jesus returns. It is that power that will open the graves of our loved ones who have gone on before us. And the light that shines in us is reflected as we live in the darkness that surrounds us. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? For the purpose of showing forth the glory of God, who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Amen. I wonder if there's anyone in the house this morning that has been called out of darkness and put into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. That is something to rejoice about this morning. Hallelujah. A life poured out for his glory is not marked by fulfilling the purpose of God rather than personal pleasure. Romans 12 tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God and to have a transformed mind. Why? That we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible says that it is in God that we live and move and have our being. When we pour out our life for his glory, our focus is on pleasing God and being obedient to his word. Ecclesiastes 3:11 tells us that God has planted eternity, a sense of divine purpose in the human heart. You and I have an eternal purpose. God's placed that within us. You and I have a purpose to fulfill, His purpose, to be conformed to His image. A life poured out for His glory strives to walk in the Spirit and keep sin out of our life. We are admonished to crucify our flesh and the lusts thereof, to die daily. Romans 6:13 says, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right. Why? For the glory of God, in His glory, for His glory. Our carnal flesh fights against us, so we must be diligent in keeping sin out. Don't give the enemy a foothold in your life. Don't open a door. How long will we allow that sin to so easily beset us to remain in our life? How long before we lay it aside? The apostle used the word serve in this verse. Understand that when we allow sin in our life, we become a slave to that sin. I don't want to be a slave to sin. I don't want to be a slave to anything but Jesus Christ. That's what the apostle said. He said, I am a slave for Christ's sake. Hallelujah. So it's a matter of the daily choices I make that will either lead me down the road to slavery to sin or the road of righteousness to freedom in Christ. I heard this the other day. Allowing sin in your life will change your theology. When we give in to the desires of our flesh, eventually we will tolerate that desire or that sin in our lives, and it will change what we believe and what we stand for. A life poured out for His glory is a life that loves the truth of the Word of God. The Bible is our daily bread. We cannot neglect it. Don't allow the world to dictate the daily download of information into your mind. We are so bombarded in the 21st century. Social media, the abundant number of different news sources. You know, I don't have it at home, but you go to a hotel room and you put the TV on and it's like 50 channels of different news. It's like, how many times can you tell the same story? But it's a constant bombardment of things trying to download into our mind, different opinions, beliefs, agendas, Google and other search engines. Where does the Word of God fit into my life? What is the daily download that's coming into my mind every single day? Where does the Word of God fit? His Word must be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. We hear it so often today that truth is relative, and what I believe is true is truth to me. But that's not Bible. It honestly doesn't matter what I think and what I proclaim as my truth. What does the Bible say? What am I going to stand on today? God honors His Word above His name. Heaven and earth, He said, will pass away, but His Word will never pass away. It is from the Word of God that faith comes. It is from the Word of God that we find salvation. It is from the Word of God that we come to freedom. It is the Word of God that helps us overcome sin. It is the Word of God that discerns the thoughts and the intents of our heart. The Word of God is part of our spiritual armor to defeat the enemy. Love the Word of God. Love it by being obedient to it. Don't let what the preacher reads from the Bible in a Sunday service be the only Bible input you have all week. Love the Word of God by paying attention to it. and is pouring out your life for His glory. Uphold its truth. And as I was preparing this, I became overwhelmed with emotion. And I want to address our young people. I know this applies to everyone, but particularly our young people. I know that our youth conference is next weekend. And you will receive so much from what is preached and taught and what you receive in fellowship with one another. And that is awesome. And as a young person, I was there once. It's great. We loved it. But after the conference, and when you go back to your jobs and your universities and your schools and your families, uphold the truth of the Word of God. Don't water it down. Don't change it to suit your comfort level or your theology. And we heard it yesterday, if you were on the ANOP call with Brother Gonzalez yesterday, the session, he talked about this. And he talked about not allowing the things of this world, the theologies of this world and false doctrines to come in and infiltrate, especially the young people. Because one day we are not going to be here, and the truth of the Word of God must be continued in the way that was once delivered to the saints. So sad when we read about Joshua and the generation that rose after him. And Brother Gonzalez mentioned it yesterday, that they knew not the Lord nor the things that the Lord had done for them. We cannot allow this truth to go by the wayside. And I say to you, love the truth. Love the Word of God. Allow it to consume you, to pour into you. In our first reading, it said to be watchful in all things, to endure afflictions. To live your life for His glory sometimes means we endure affliction. To do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Each one of us here this morning is an evangelist for God. Amen. Evangelism doesn't happen in this congregation per se, but individually my evangelism occurs when I walk out these doors to the people that I interact with every single day. You and I are evangelists for His glory. You and I pour out our lives to others for His glory. Amen. A life poured out for His glory fulfills the ministry that God has called us to. A life poured out for His glory bears the fruit of the Spirit. John 15:8 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Glorify God through what you allow to bear fruit in your life. We read it in the Bible where it says that a tree can bear good fruit or bad fruit. And I asked you this morning, what sort of fruit is coming off your tree? Is it good fruit unto eternal life, or is it bad fruit? Let us ensure that we produce good fruit that glorifies God. Amen. Hallelujah. When I pour out my life unto the Lord and I seek His kingdom first, the Bible says that all these things shall be added unto me. When I pour out my life unto the Lord, my affections will be set on things above and not below. When I pour out my life unto the Lord, I will redeem the time. When I pour out my life unto the Lord, the desires of my heart will align with His will and His purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In the temple, when the drink offering was poured on the sacrifice, there was nothing left. It was totally consumed. When David poured out the water from the well in Bethlehem, he poured out the whole container out as a sacrifice unto the Lord. There was nothing left. Jesus gave his life and poured out his life unto death. The heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11 poured out their lives. The Bible says they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And then the Bible goes on from that. The next scripture says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hallelujah. They poured out their lives. They gave it all for the sake of the kingdom. I mentioned earlier that when a drink offering was given, the entire contents belonged to God. Nothing was kept for anyone or anything else. And this is what the Bible says. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You and I are bought with a price, with the precious blood of Jesus, who poured out his life unto death to make eternal life possible for us. Because of this, give God glory through what you do in your body every single day. What will I pour out my life for? What was poured out as a drink offering to God was not possible to gather back up, and what had been poured out, it was consumed by fire, or it was poured out on the ground, or the life was ended through death. Hallelujah. Many in the book of Acts poured out their lives for the sake of the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. I wanted to show you something this morning. To give you a visual of what it's like to pour something out. I couldn't pour it out on the ground because then we'd have to clean it up. But if you think about this, that when we pour out something from a jug or whatever onto the ground, eventually it's going to go. It's going to dissipate. There's going to be nothing left. And so if this jug represents my life, what am I going to pour it out for? Am I going to pour it out for the things of this world? For my pleasures? To gain fame? To gain the accolades of man? Because we all eventually have only been given this amount, our life. What am I going to pour it out for? Because once it's poured out, it can't get back again. So am I going to pour it out for his kingdom? For the sake of the cross, for the sake of the souls that are going to hell, for the sake of eternity, what am I going to pour my life for? Until eventually there's nothing left. and I will stand before God. My sins have gone before me. But he will say, what did you do with your life, Gina? Did you pour it out for me? What will determine what you pour your life out for? Will I pour it out for this world, for myself, or will I pour it out for his glory? That is our theme this year, for his glory. God, everything in my life, let it be for your glory. You know, we sing that song, withholding nothing, I surrender all to you. That is a life poured out for his glory. Withholding nothing. It comes from putting God first in our life, to seek the purpose of God in our life, to keep sin out of our life, to love the truth, to stand for truth, to be fruitful, and to pour out our life for his glory. Hallelujah. So I ask you this morning to consider what you will pour your life out for. We don't know how long we have, whether Jesus comes back or our life is taken. But I don't want to leave anything in my life that's not poured out for Christ. And I know we may have some guests here today or online watching, but Jesus, I want to say this, that Jesus poured out his life for you. He poured out his blood. He gave his life. God wrapped himself in flesh and came and humbled himself to as a human for the sake of giving you eternal life. So this morning, if you don't know Christ, you've never given your life to the Lord, he is coming to you this morning and saying, I gave my life for you, that you may understand what it is to have eternal life. I love you so much that I give you my life. Today is a day of decision. Whether you know the Lord or this is new to you, God is calling you. What will you do with Jesus? We are coming into Easter next weekend where we celebrate the birth, death, and the resurrection, or the resurrection of Christ. He rose for you. He rose for you and I. His blood was shed. His life was poured out for you and I. Hallelujah. Why don't we stand this morning? A life poured out for the sake of the kingdom. Jesus is offering us salvation this morning. You can be baptized, you can repent. Jesus can wash away your sins this morning, whatever it is. He can give you peace. He can give you joy. He can take away the addictions. Because of his life that was poured out. Hallelujah. Why don't we bow our heads for a moment? It's so easy to let our lives become so consumed with the day-to-day that we forget about God, or it's just a Sunday thing. But God is calling us this morning to a life poured out for his glory. God, everything I do, everything, whatever I do, I withhold nothing. I withhold nothing. The apostle said it. He said, to gain Christ and everything else is but dung. I don't want anything else but Christ. So I'm going to open this altar this morning. Let it be a time of consecration, where you reconsecrate your life to pour it out. God, I pour out my life to you. As we sing this song, I withhold nothing, oh God, I withhold nothing. I withhold nothing for your glory, for his glory. This altar is open if you would like to come and pray.